we left off yesterday, we began to discuss the machlokes, the Rambam and the Rosh, about what the nature of the Isser of being Nana Me'atzeh Sukkah is all about. So everybody agrees that that's an Isser min HaTorah, the Gemara derives it from Sukkim. But the Rambam has an all-encompassing view that it applies not only to the Schach, it applies to the Defanus, it applies to the walls as well, on a level of Deraisa. And the Rosh had trouble with that. The Rosh says, where do we find that there are any dinim that apply to the walls? We know that all the psulei schach only apply to the schach, don't apply to the defanos. Anything that's derived from the phrase sukkah, the word sukkah, the definition means davar, means the protection, means the schach. It doesn't carry over to the defanos. So why, according to the Rambam, does this particular din carry over to the defanos? So there's a famous beer in the name of Reb Chaim. We spoke about this beer in the past. Reb Chaim, we have to read the whole Reb Chaim. Yeah, but don't have a chance of a Shabbos tinkle because it's a fairly short Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim develops a yisod. That there's really a fundamental question here as to which aspect of Sukkah does the Isser HaNor emanate from. So do we say that the Isser HaNor is a function of the Chefts of the Sukkah, or do we say that the Isser HaNor is a function of the Mitzvah Sukkah? So says Reb Chaim, if you focus on the Chefts of the Sukkah, what is considered to be the object of the Sukkah per se, then the Rosh is 100% right. The object of the Sukkah only speaks to the Schach, proof positive. There are no real dinim as to what the defanos. I can make the defanos out of bricks, out of wood, I can make it out of glass, whatever I want. There are no halachas that govern the material of the defanos. There are halachas, how many defanos you need, and there are halachas about the size of the defanos. That's true, there's something to the defanos. But in terms of the etzem hachefza for the sukkah, so the chefza is only chal on the schach, the shem chefza is not chal on the defanos. So that's where the Rosh argues that the Isser HaNor emanates from the Chefza, therefore it's limited on the level of the Raisa only to the Schach. Because the Rambam understood that the Isra Noshebo is not a reflection of the Chefza of the Sukkah, but rather it emanates from the Mitzvah Sasukkah. Anything that's an integral part of the Mitzvah Sasukkah automatically becomes Asab HaNor. Now, truth to be told, the funos are not part of the Chefza, but you do need them for the Mitzvah. Go try to fulfill the Mitzvah of Sukkah without the funos. That's cause, not just because you need something to hold up the schach. I can hold the schach up from poles, from ropes also. But there's a din, the Gemara learns out from Sukkim, there's a din shtayim ki yuchasod shlish fafil tefach. One cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Sukkah without having the defanos. So since the defanos are indispensable to the kiyum ha-mitzvah shebo, according to the Rambam, that's enough for the Isser HaNor to take effect. So I thought that it's an interesting idea, this machlokes Reb Chaim is developing, whether the Isser HaNor emanates from the Chefza, emanates from the Mitzvah, is that we've already seen this idea in other contexts. There are really two different parshas of Sukkah. The Torah presents the Mitzvah of Sukkah in two different places. It presents the Mitzvah of Sukkah in Parshas Emor, in the Parshas of Avodim. That's from the second day landing from Pesach. And then it repeats the Mitzvah of Sukkah in Parshas Re'eh, which was from Achron Shem Pesach. So if you look at the two different presentations in the Torah, one in Parshas Emor, one in Parshas Re'eh, the focus is really on two different aspects of Sukkah. In Parshas Emor, the focus is on the mitzvah of Sukkah. The focus is on what you're supposed to be doing in the Sukkah. There's Basukkah's Teish for Shivas Yomim. There's a mitzvah yeshiva Basukkah. And the word Teish is the source of Teish for Kein Taduru. And that teaches me if it rains, you potter. That teaches me if it's uncomfortable, you potter. And we learn after those Basukkah who's chayv in Sukkah, who's potter from Sukkah. L'man yedu d'roseichem. That when you sit in the Sukkah, you're supposed to have in mind, you're sitting in the Sukkah, all the dinim that revolve around the mitzvahs you're always supposed to do once you're in the Sukkah, all are derived from Parshas Emor. Parshas Re'eh speaks more about the chefts of the Sukkah. Parshas Re'eh speaks about Chag Sukkah's Tasa, B'Gornach HaMi'igmecha. It teaches me how to build the Sukkah. It teaches me the dinim of Pesonis Gerd V'Yekev. According to some Rishonim, we spoke about this in the past, that's the source for the mitzvah of building the Sukkah. The Pasuk of Chag HaSukkos Taseh is not even talking about HaSukkos yet. It's not even Tesfah of Tishrei yet. The Torah is telling me what to do. Chag HaSukkos Taseh, build the Sukkah, fulfill the mitzvah of building the Sukkah, build the Pesach Garvi Yechav, etc. So they're really two different parashas. So the parasha of Emor is focusing on the mitzvah Sukkah. The parasha of Re'eh is focusing on the Chefts of the Sukkah. Where is the source for the Isser HaNor? So we already learned it on the first of the Mar. The source is Chag HaSukkos Shivas Yom LaHashem. That's the Pasuk in Parashas Emor. Because all the Bekairas, all the sources that teach us that you're not allowed to be Nehemi Atzeh Sukkah are not found in Parshas Re'eh. They're found in Parshas Emor. So that seems to give a little bit more of a credibility to the Shittas Rambam, that the Rambam is linking the Isser HaNor more to the Mitzvah Sukkah than to Chefza Sukkah. It's a Dovah Lo Minyon. That makes sense. That fits in very nicely. That since the Sukkah and Parshas Emor are talking about the Mitzvah, And that's where the Torah chose to create the Yisrael. The Torah could have written the Yisrael either place, but the Torah chose to write the Yisrael on Dafka Bashta. I thought there was a little bit of a smach to the Shita Ser Rambam.
Rabbi, according to the Rosh, though, that learns it, it's a function of the Chetzesh, according to this Bira, it's a Chetzesh of the whole Sukkah, or even just the Chetzesh of the Schach. So after it falls down, after day two or whatever it is, it's hard to say that it's no longer right.
Okay, excellent, good. So now the Chara, we have to take this Reb Chaim one step further. This Lomdesha Chakir, Reb Chaim is raising, is it a function of the mitzvah, the function of the Chetza? How does this impact on the questions that we spoke about on Wednesday? So on Wednesday we mentioned that there was a big machlekes in the Rishonim. If and when does the Isra Noah end on a level of the Araisa? So according to the Re, the Isra ends once the Sukkah falls down. And the question is, why should that be so? Conceptually, why should that be so? We know what prompted the Re to say that. What forced the Re to say that was the fact that one Gemara speaks about the Atzeh Sukkah being awesome in a Torah, and the other speaks about them being awesome in Derabanan Rishon Muktzis, and the Re was bothered with the Kasha. If it's awesome in a Torah, so what do I need the Isra Derabanan for? So the Re was searching for a case where the Isra Hanoa Deraisa falls by the wayside. So what was the case? So the Re suggests where the Sukkah falls down. So now Re is asking, do we understand that conceptually? Why should the Sukkah falling down affect the Isra Hanoa? So if you hold that the Isra Hanoa emanates from the mitzvah Sukkah, so it makes a lot of sense. I can't be Yotzei the mitzvah anymore. So if I can't be Yotzei the mitzvah anymore, then it would make sense that the Isra Hanoa should disappear. But if you hold that it's a function of the Chetz of the Sukkah, would that be true? So I think the answer would be yes, it could still be true, because it's not a Chetz of Sukkah anymore.
No shame Sukkah.
It means it started out as a Chetz of Sukkah, now it's not a Chetz of Sukkah. Say, Le Moshe, if the Sukkah is over, everybody agrees the Isra is over, it's not a Sukkah anymore, it's not functioning as a Sukkah. So Chosban that it's standing, it's functioning as a Sukkah, so that's called the Chetz of a Sukkah. But it's on the floor, so it's wood that came from something that used to be a Sukkah.
It started as a Chetz of Sukkah, was
usher. So that's already a very drabbanan dikur. That's like a mukta ish type of besvar. You're already looking at the world with uncle's mukta. If you're looking at the pure world there, Isa, easy come, easy go. Was a chapter yesterday, it's not a chapter today. So I'm not sure that the Re would be impacted by either one of these two svar. I can hear the svar, Bein Lefi Aram, Bein Lefi Arash.
But according to Israel's answer, saying it, that when the mitzvah is kayam, you know, that it's in existence, so it theoretically it shouldn't disappear, even though it doesn't have that shame. So like if you take tzitzis, and you can't mezalzel tzitzis, even though it's puzzle, so you just have to treat it with a different type of respect.
Okay, but those kinds of dinim are not really dinim midaraisa. On a level of the araisa, so if it's not a chafza anymore, it's not a chafza, but it's over. Those are huktza dinim, those are zulu dinim, pizu mitzvah kind of dinim. So, but in the realm of the issa de araisa, vatsya sukkah, so I can definitely hear the svar of the Re that kolzban, it's functioning and serving as a chafza, it's also. Chafza is over, becomes one.
So that's why one could say you could take it apart, the sukkah, even a cholmoid or something like that, because it's.
We didn't say that yet. We have to see whether that's true.
Or not.
Whether,
build it.
Okay, right. So we have to see whether that's even true. That's going to touch on the next part of the sugya. So, let's go back to the original source of this Isser of being Nanamiyatze Sukkah and see maybe we can understand a little bit about the nature of this Isser from the source. Very often, learning the source of something indicates something about what the nature of the Isser is all about. So, we go back to the first thing about Mekomos for a minute. So in the second line, the first Rambam Kobe is the Tetzim Alpha, the second line, the Gemara says, Damar of Sheishas Rabbi Akiva. Minayin la'atzei sukha shasun kol shiva, tamlo b'chag asukha shivas yom la'Hashem. So that pasuk in and of itself probably doesn't tell us too much about the nature of the Yisr. It's just almost as a source. It's la'Hashem, okay, good. What does la'Hashem mean exactly? We're not sure. But the next line seems to be a little bit more of a giveaway. V'tani, Rabbi Yudim Abbasay Ra'imir, Kishem shechal shem shemayim ala chagiga, kachal shem shemayim ala sukkah. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir is now making an equation. He's saying, just as there's a concept of a korban chagiga, a chag, l'Hashem, just as when you dedicate an animal, you designate an animal for a korban, so it's chal shem shemayim on it, and that's the reason why you can't be nene from it. So too, when you have a sukkah and you build a sukkah, you have dedicated it l'Hashem, and it's in a sense chal shem shemayim ala sukkah ma'chag l'Hashem av sukkah l'Hashem. So that statement of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir is somewhat startling because those who learned Yomi, this is taking us into the world of Kachim now. You know, that's from Sunday, Kachim starting. Tomorrow I get a freebie. It's a very short daf. So about 10 lines, the last daf in Herodias. The last 14 blind hurries have been long enough, so I get a little bit of a break tomorrow. But Kachim starts, Zvachim starts, Shchadish Iyar starts a new Zman. So the Sechas Zvachim begins. And all of a sudden, the Gemara here is relating the Dinim of Sukkah to the Dinim of Kachim. That just as there's a Din, when you mach this something, it's also by not hands off. So too, when you build a Sukkah and you build this, the Sukkah becomes hands off as well. So this is very startling, because if you really believe that the Isser Hanah is really almost like a Kachim Nikadin, that it should probably follow with the details of Achus Kachim. And one of the basic details of Kachim is that the Isser Hanah is Chalva Dibur. Once a person is Machdish, an animal, even though he didn't bring it yet as a Korban, he lives in Tel Aviv, he's no one named Yishalayim. He sets aside an animal, so once it's Kodesh Lashem, you're not allowed to use it. It's an Isser Derais, it's Chayv Ilav, he uses it. So one would think that Sukkah should follow that pattern as well. So once a person builds a Sukkah, so he's designated as a Sukkah, it's Chal Shem Shemaim Sukkah. So the Taz already, in Ilchus Sukkah, makes the observation that this is not correct, that this is just Pasha, not true. There is no such din. The din is that if a person builds a Sukkah, and he hasn't yet sat in the Sukkah, even if Sukkah comes, let's say the guy is away for the first day, he's not coming back to Chol Hamoed, so he built himself a Sukkah, and nobody used the Sukkah, so it's already the second day, no one sat in it yet, that Sukkah is not a Sukkah, no. There's no Issa Deraisa on that Sukkah, because it hasn't yet been sat in. How do we know that that's true? So Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rishonim, it's based on the principle called Hazman Alav Milsa. The Gemara's in Machlokes in Maseches Sanhedrin, whenever you have Devarim Shel Cheftza that have Issuri Hanoah connected to them, putting aside Kachim for a minute, do those Yisurah Hanoah begin once the object is used for that specific purpose? Or even just the designation is also enough? So the Gemara is the original Machlokes by Tachrichim. It's a din that Tachrichim are also Hanoah, just as a mace is also Hanoah. So something that's set aside for a mace is also Hanoah as well. So let's say you already dressed the mace in Tachrichim, then you just change your mind, say, no, decided, I don't want to use it for Tachrichim anymore, I need another kittel for myself. So I take the Tachrichim off the mace, and I wear it myself. So you're not allowed to do that. That's an Issa. That's called being Nena Me. Tachrichim mace is also. So the Gemara is a Machlekes Amarayim, Ayin Rava. What about an Urig Begel mace? What if I didn't dress the mace yet with Tachrichim, I wove the big Begel, I sewed the Begel, it's sitting already for this particular mace, but hasn't been used yet. So Abaye says that's a problem. Once you designate it for Tachrichim, it becomes Nitfas B'di Yisra Hanah. And Rava says, no, Hazman Alav Milsa. Just because you designated it as Tachrichim, that doesn't make it awesome.
What do you do with that item?
According to Abaye?
Yeah.
According to Abaye, it would have to be discarded, either used for another mace, or it would have to be discarded like other Yisra Hanah. You couldn't use it for private purposes.
And you couldn't even hold it.
I mean, it's like a cheeseburger, like any other number. Also, I got to get rid of it. You got to figure out what to do with it. Nobody uses it.
Halacha Maisa. When I buried my father, they asked for talis and the new shlime, and then they said no. The head of the chaver no talis.
But was it actually put on?
It took it into the kever.
Did they actually dress it?
It was in the. I didn't see. So it took it in the kever, and we don't use it because it took off the.
That would be the shayla. So if it was actually put on the mace al das the kovro, probably wasn't put al das the kovro. It was put al das the kovro. That's not hazman anymore. That's already it was used. But if it was just set aside, designated, so we pass it like rav hazman al milsa, that the tachrich would not become also under those circumstances. The Gemara has that same machlokes by other cases, a little more cheerier cases. The Gemara talks about a tefillin bag. In the same breath, the Gemara says, once you have a kishel tefillin, once it's used for tefillin, you're not allowed to put your money in it. You're not allowed to store your private items in it. So the Gemara has a shayla. What's the din of a person designates a tefillin bag? A kishel tefillin, but velo tzarbe. You never used it yet. So the same pismah, the Gemara says, according to Abaye, hazman is milsa. According to Rav, we pass it as manalav milsa. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes that Gemara in Hilchas Sukkah, and he says, just as we paskel like Rav Hazman Alav Milsa, so too when it comes to a Sukkah, that Hazman Alav Milsa, and if a person built a Sukkah, even though Sukkah has arrived, but he hasn't literally sat the Sukkah yet, so the Sukkah does not become Asur Bahanor yet. So the Taz asks the question, he says, that Machlaik Yisabai and Rav about Hazman Alav Milsa, that doesn't apply to Karbanos, that doesn't apply to Kachim, that applies to Tachrichi Anais, that applies to the Tfilim, it applies to things that are Asur Bahanor because of a certain usage and designations, but not Karbanos. The guy's makdish a korban. Nobody would say, even Rav would never say, that does become also banot until it's brought as a korban. That's ridiculous. Of course, once you makdish a korban, it's also banot min haTorah. So the Taz asks the question, if you really believe what the Gemara is saying, literally, that kishem shechal shem shemayim lechagiga, kachal al hasukah, so then how come the Shulchan Aruch quotes that the din of Hazman lav milsa kicks in by Hilchos Sukkah as well? So because of that kasha, the Taz went back to the drawing board and he said, we misunderstood what the Isra Noah on the Sukkah is all about. That the Gemara uses it as a mashal, the Gemara says, Kachal Shem Shemayim ala Chagiga, but that does not describe what the very essence of the Isra is. It's not really kachim. A rabbi gets up and gives a lot of drushes. When you're sitting in a sukkah, it's like you're sitting under a carbon, you're in the base of it. It's all nice for drushes, for sermons, and Shabbos, but Tachas Natah says, the Isra Anor Sukkah is not governed by the Isra of Kachim. It's not really a din of Kachim. Proof positive, Hazman Allah Milsa by Sukkah. So what is it? If it's not real Kachim, what is it? So the Taz says he thinks that the Isra is a little bit of a misnomer. It's not an Isra Hanor. It's really even Isra called Bittul Mimitzvasel, says the Taz. That once something is being used for a sukkah, so then you're not supposed to change course in the middle of sukkahs. If the sukkah is over, you can do whatever you want with it. But during sukkahs, you're not supposed to be mevatel a mitzvah. So if I have a sukkah that's built, and I have schach that's sitting on top, and the schach is functioning b'toras mitzvah sukkah, and now all of a sudden I want some firewood, so I grab this schach off, and I use it for firewood, so I was in a sense mevatel a mitzvah. So the Taz says that's the problem. But what if I'm nena miyatzei sukkah in a way that's not mevata the mitzvah? So I don't do anything. Nothing changes. The schach is still intact. The schach is still being used as a mitzvah. I'm being nena from the schach. So I don't know, let's say, Lamashal, I have my sukkah and I have my schach there. And I have a very, very heavy, strong branch there. I want to use it as my chin-up. So I want to use it as a chin-up bar in the middle of sukkahs. So the Taz says, okay, so what's the problem? I've got to be nena miyatzei sukkah. So the Taz says, that's true, but you're not being mevatel mitzvah, so it's still, there's another fellow who's sitting. He's looking at you like you're a little mishugan. He's still sitting and eating a sandwich and using the schach. So the schach is serving two functions. It's still serving a function of a mitzvah, and it's also being nana for up. That's okay, says the Taz. There's nothing wrong with it. If the schach would be a carbon, I'm not allowed to take the carbon for a little ride around the block. Even though riding on the animals, I'm mevatel mitzvah. So I want to bring this animal to the base of Mikdash. I live in Tel Aviv. I want to bring the animal to the base of Mikdash. So the easiest way for me to get there is to take a ride on the back of the cow. So you're not allowed to do that. I'm not being mevatel mitzvah. So if I cared, I'm bringing it to the base of Mikdash. So the answer is, the issur of being nena mikotchim has nothing to do with being mevatel mitzvah. So is it issur before the atzmo? You're not allowed to be nena mikotchim, finished. It's a davar kadosh, so you're not allowed to use it for private, for tzarchei hedyot. When it comes to a sukkah, there's no din you're not allowed to use it for tzarchei hedyot. The din is you're not allowed to be mevatel mitzvah. So any hanor that's not bittul mitzvah so would not pose a problem. That's the Taz's chiddush. The Taz concedes that the drasha doesn't sound that way. The drasha sounds like it is a din of kachim, but the dinim and shulchan aruch don't match up to this. So he said, Mistama, the Rishonim had some kind of an understanding that would be okay. As long as you're not mevatel mitzvah, so that would be all right. So notwithstanding the opinion of the Taz, one of the later Acharonim disagreed with the Taz. That was the Oneg Yontif. So the Shaz and Chuvah's Oneg Yontif, we spoke about this in passing a couple of months ago, the Oneg Yontif understood the Gemara Kepshuto, that it really is an Isser of Hanoah. And even if nothing's going to go wrong, the Sukkah is not changing at all, there's no Bittul Mitzvah, so that's still considered an Isser of Kishem Shechal Shem Shabbat Mechagiga. How do I know the Oneg Yontif is super this way? Because the Oneg Yontif was bothered with a whole series of kashas that indicate a certain mindset that he had towards this Isser. One of the famous kashas of the Oneg Yontif is a kasha under Rishalmi. The Rishalmi says that when it's raining on Sukkah, it's leading out the first night, and it's raining on third day Chol HaMoed, so the Rishalmi says it's foolish to sit in the Sukkah. Sometimes a person will think, even though I'm potter in a Sukkah, I want to be extra firm, be this chassidus, or mahadim, I want to sit in the Sukkah, even in the rain. So I'm going to go, the people who are not so firm, if it's the rain, they go into the house. I'm going to show you. I looked at it, so for 3 years, I'm ready, I'm a higher dagger than my family, so I'm going to go sit in the Sukkah in the rain. So Rishami says, "Is Nikri Hedyot." Rishami says, "You're a fool. You're silly. Why? You're not doing anything. You're getting wet from mamish. No, nothing at all. You're ruining your chol hamoed. You're making yourself silly. You're ruining your suit. You're ruining your hat. You're getting wet, and you're accomplishing absolutely nothing. You don't get any schaim mitzvah. You get zero." So sometimes some other things. Sometimes the people tell you that, "Yeah, that guy over there. Well, his minig is he sits in a sukkah in the rain." It's called minig. It's a shaita. I didn't say it. Rishami says the shaita is a hedyot for sitting in the sukkah in the rain. There's no mitzvah. The first night of sukkah, some shared mothers, the din of mitzvah doesn't apply. So that's already negotiable. But after the first night, there's no midas chasidus, there's no mitzvah, there's absolutely nothing. It's a shaita. So the Yontif has a fascinating kasha. He says, wait a second, maybe it's worse than a shaita. So Rishami just calls him a shaita. Maybe he's worse. Maybe he's a chaita. Maybe he's doing something wrong. Why? Because the schach is protecting him a little bit. If he'd be sitting in the backyard with nothing protecting him, he'd be getting drenched, torrential rain. Now, even when you sit in the sukkah in the rain, it takes a little while till it starts to drip through the schach. So the schach is helping a little bit. So he's being nenem in a sukkah, shalom b'derech mitzvah. You're allowed to sit in the sukkah to fulfill the mitzvah. Nobody would say, anu chomer, you can't sit in the sukkah. Why? Because you're being nenem in a mitzvah. That's a joke. The din of the Yisrael Noz is not when you're doing the mitzvah, but kol zman you're doing the mitzvah, that's not a problem. So frek, the Ari Yadav, how could the Rishami say, it's just foolish to sit in the sukkah in the rain, it should be asr, because it's being nenem in a sukkah shlobishas mitzvah. So what would the Taz think about that question? The Taz wouldn't even dream about that kasha. According to the Taz, as long as you didn't take the sukkah apart, as long as you didn't take the sukkah off and use it for firewood, as long as the sukkah is still functioning, so then there's no Isser Hano on the sukkah, says the Taz. It's a misnomer. It's a Nisa Bittel Mitzvasa. But the Yadav, who asked the kasha, you see from his kasha that he understood the Gemara Kapshut that his Mamash and Isser Hano.
So if it's so sunny that it's a scorching day and that you couldn't sit outside without the schach,
that's okay. That's perfectly right, because that's the mitzvah. But I'm doing the mitzvah. But right now I'm still doing the mitzvah.
So the idea of schach, it doesn't say, oh, it does say it's all. But you being protected, so what's the difference being protected from rain? You're being protected from sunshine.
There's a big difference. In the case of the sunshine, I'm being yotzei the mitzvah. In the case of the rain, I'm not being yotzei anything. You're allowed to be nenem in a sukkah when you're doing the mitzvah. That's what you're supposed to be doing. The yisra no is shaloi b'derech mitzvah. So the Onigel was bothered with the kasha. I wouldn't be bothered. The Taz wouldn't have been bothered with this kasha.
According to the Onigel, if it's chol hamoed and it's raining, and I just don't want to take a piece of wood off of it and burn it.
Okay. We're going to say it in a second. Okay, that you're already part of the answer to the kasha. So the Onigel suggests that maybe the answer is as follows. Maybe the answer is a throwback to the Ri. The Ri told us that b'med devam amurim, there's an isra hano on the sukkah. That's when the sukkah's standing. But once the sukkah fell down, you know, as we explained before, once it's on the floor, it's over, done. The mitzvah's over, the cheft is over. It's not there. Mid Torah, it's over. Mid the Rabbanan, there's still mukta issues. Those are technical issues. But mid the Raisa, the Yisrael Noah disappears once the sukkah falls down. So comes the other and says, what's called the sukkah's dovet aval? What's called the falling down sukkah? So I know that if it's a big, windy day and it's find the sukkah on the floor, that's a falling down sukkah. Says the other Yadav, I'll tell you another chiddush. It's another falling down sukkah. A sukkah in the rain up Yidin is a falling down sukkah. You know why? Because when it's raining, it's not a cheft of a sukkah. Since the sukkah up Yidin is ke'ilu, no fellas, it already fell down. Up Yidin, it's not functioning anymore as a sukkah. A sukkah in the rain is nishkin sukkah, and therefore the Yisra no disappears. Azriel had trouble swallowing it even when the sukkah is on the floor. So now the Onigyantav is going one step further. He's saying, not only on the floor, but it's physically on the floor, halakhli on the floor. The Onigyantav looked at the world through the eyes of the Beis Medrash. He saw a sukkah in the rain. He said, I don't see a sukkah. I see a pile of wood on the floor. That's not a sukkah. And the rain is not a shame sukkah. So that's a big, big chiddush what the Yonah Yontav is saying, because that's not agreed upon at all by everybody. There's a gra that says that. There's a bir hagra that has a similar comment like that. We mentioned before the Rishonim have a machlokes about a yichayv to sit in the sukkah on the first night in the rain. So some Rishonim say no. Some Rishonim say mitzvah patur b'sukkah. Finish the first night. Let's do it. First night, third night. It's all the same thing. Mitzvah patur b'sukkah. Another Rishonim say no. The patur mitzvah doesn't apply on the first night. Why? Because the chiv on the first night is derived from Pesach. On Pesach there's no patur mitzvah. Let's say a guy sitting at the seder table and it starts to drip in his. If he's makbar gebracht, he's going to have trouble. But if he's not so makbar gebracht, it's dripping onto his seder table. So you're going to say, oh, yeah, you can't be yaitzei mitzvah. You got to leave this, go to another room because mitzvah put them in a matzah. It's chalitz on us. No p'tor mitzvah on mitzvahs. Mitzvah is put them in a sukkah because sukkah is a teish for king taduru. But other mitzvahs, you have to be yaitzei. So some Yisraelim say, just as there's no p'tor mitzvah for matzah, and the whole chiv on the first night of sukkahs is derived from matzah, there's no p'tor mitzvah. So even though it's cold outside, and even though it's smelly outside, and even though it's raining outside, you have to eat the sukkah anyway. So the Gra has a comment in Be'er Gra Nor Chaim, where the Gra says that even if you'd hold a mitzvah, it's chayim in the first night. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. In the rain, for sure you're potter. Why? Because the Gra has a line, he says, Lav Shem Sukkah Allah. It's not called a sukkah. The Gra is learning that a sukkah that can't protect you from the rain, it's mamas raining into the sukkah itself, does nishkein schach. Schach means it's serving some kind of protection. If it's doing such a poor job that, like it's supposed to be doing a poor job, it can't. There's no way for it to protect it from the rain. B'shas ma'is, if it's raining into the sukkah, it's not a chefta for the sukkah. So therefore the Gra held that on the first night of sukkah, you're waiting for an hour and 2 hours and 5 hours, you're driving the whole family crazy, you're going in with shecher, without shecher, you're driving the whole world nuts to sit in the sukkah. The Gra says, your mom is wasting your time. He says, you're eating in a house anyway. You're eating outdoors anyway. You're not eating in a sukkah. Lav shem sukkah Allah. So we don't follow that Gra. Our minig is like the Ramah, that we do try to eat in the sukkah the first night. We suffer without a bracha, even in the rain. So we're not so convinced that lav shem sukkah Allah. So what the Onig Yantif was saying to answer his question about how come the guy sitting in the rain is not a fool, so we set up he didn't based on the read that the sukkah's fallen down. That equation that the sukkah's fallen down because it's raining, that's not so simple at all that is necessarily correct. The Gra held that way, but the Ramah didn't hold that way. So getting back to this story, so we have a running machlokes to the Taz and the Onig Yantif, what the nature of the Isser of Nenem Yatzisuk is. According to the Taz, that's not a correct for prison there. It's not really Hanah. That's not the Issa. The Issa is Bittul Mitzvah. According to the Onig Yantif, it's Mamash Hanah. That's why he was bothered the Kasher. It was that Hanah, it was that premise of the Onig Yantif that prompted his second interesting Kasher. We spoke about this Kasher back, way, way back in the days. The Onig Yantif raised the question, what right does a woman have to sit in the sukkah? How is it mutter for we say the women sit in the sukkah? Hilni Hamalka back in the bay, she's Queen Hilni, she sat in the sukkah, our wives, our daughters, our mothers, all the women sit in the sukkah. Frank the other Yantif, what? What right do you have to sit in the sukkah? When a woman sits in the sukkah, she's not being nene minha, I'm sorry, she's not being fulfilling the mitzvah. She's not chayav, it's eshes man grubba. So she's not fulfilling the mitzvah, and she's being nene, it's been a sukkah shalom, but mitzvah, so that should be a problem, that should be also. So what's the justification? We know the facts, so we know women sit in the sukkah. So what's the justification? So the Yadav is to turn the world upside down. It's a mitzvah kiyumis, it's a this, it's part of the husband's kiyum, part of the father's kiyum. I gave you a half dozen new reasons why. The Taz would look at this kash and say, I don't even know what the kash is. He didn't even see the kash even coming, says the Taz. He says, what kind of kash is that? That what can a woman sit in the sukkah? She's not been vatal mitzvah. So if she would take the piece of schach off and use it for firewood, that would be a problem. But kozban, you're not being mevatal mitzvah, so that's not a problem. So going back to the question that you raised, according to the Onig Yantif, who said that there is an Isser Hanah from the sukkahs, an Isser b'fliatzo, not just bitwals, an Isser Hanah, not a sukkah, but if the sukkah's fallen down, it's not a problem, and rain is like falling down, so it come out an unbelievable cool, according to the Onig Yantif. You could take the schach off when it's raining. If you need wood for your fire, it's cold in the house, you want to make firewood in your house, so wait till it rains. When it starts to rain, then be after. With the Rabbani, you still could have done Isser Yimukts, etc. But with the Raisa, that would be okay. So we have a major machlokes here between the Taz and the Onig Yantif, which is impacting all these questions. Are we bothered with the question of sitting in the sukkah in the rain? Are we bothered with the question of women sitting in the sukkah? The Onig Yantif was very, very bothered, and he wrote tshuvas to address these issues. And the Taz wouldn't have written tshuvas, wouldn't have even thought of these kashas, because he had a totally different mindset as to what the nature is. So we have a lot of machlokes swirling around about this issa. We have a machlokes, the Rambam and the Rosh. Is it a chefetz oriented or mitzvah oriented? We have a machlokes, the Taz and the Onig Yantif. Is it hanah oriented? Or is it bittul mitzvah oriented? We have to think it through a little bit. Are these two issues related to one another? Maybe they are, maybe they're not. And any other issues that now impact upon what the nature of this is all about. So hopefully, next week, we'll try to put the final touches on this. So, hopefully, we'll move on.